Amen. Thank you, choir. It's always good to have the choir get it started off here on a right spirit, good spirit. Thank you. Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. It's a nice starting into the fall season, looks like. And somebody said you had frost out this way, but it won't be long and frost on the pumpkin. Oh, my. But it's a great day. It's a great day when we can come together and praise God for his goodness to us. Isn't God good? He's just blessed us so abundantly. I want to share with you from Psalms 123. It reads like this. Unto thee lift I mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look into the hand of thy master, and as the eyes of the maiden into the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord, our God, until that he has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, and have mercy upon us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with thy scorning of those that are at ease, and while thy contempt of the proud. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. And he has, he will, and let us praise him for his goodness this morning.
For him of worship this morning, I'll use hymn number 334, first and last verse, and Benny will have her prayer. Is that okay?
I will sing the wonder story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wonder story.
God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we're so grateful that we have Jesus, that your love was demonstrated through Jesus in such a wonderful way. We thank you, dear God, that we can have peace. We can be comforted with the fact that our sins are forgiven, that we can be made whole in Christ Jesus. Dear God, how thankful we are that you provide so well for us. Give us opportunity once again to come together and honor you as a church family. So this morning we're here, Heavenly Father, and we want to say thank you for your goodness. Thank you for Jesus. Help us always to be good examples for Jesus, our Savior. Now, Heavenly Father, we ask that you forgive us where we might have erred, where we have fallen short, that you would strengthen us and encourage us through the singing, through the prayers, through the word today, that we will have a greater force on those around us for your kingdom and for the Lord Jesus. Help us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For communion hymn, we use number 330, sing the first and last verse.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his graces? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? washing the blood of the Lamb.
Okay, first things first, we have a first-time visitor with us this morning. This pretty little gal sitting down here by Joanne, whose name is Lily, but she is Debbie's granddaughter here. And so we welcome you, Lily. Pretty name for a pretty little girl. Welcome to you. Also, and second thing, we have a young man who has a birthday today, and that's Daniel Davis. He's 22 years old, I think. Somewhere around that, plus. So, Benz, you have a birthday today.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Daniel. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. Okay. Well, we have a few people missing this morning, but we're glad that you're here, and good to see you all. Any announcements in any way this morning? So we'll look to our prayer list here this morning, and we still have several on our prayer list. We were told one time, did you take Catherine Gaines off of our prayer list here a while back? You just now put her back on? Okay, So then you have word that she's not doing as well then. Okay, thank you. I knew we had an on and off there, and I know she said that she was doing good and wanted off the prayer to take her off. But all right, we know that one of neighboring churches over here, a young fellow, Estelle Lee, who we knew that Lee family over there, knew quite a few of those that now have passed away. And so he passed away this past week, and so we pray for that family. Wanda Lemaster died this week, and so we also add her to our prayers as God's comforting that way. And see anything else on our prayer list that has changed here? Doodle finally has an appointment, which will be the 30th. Did you say the 30th this month? So we'll pray you up for that. Back here in the corner, Richard back here is going to experience a little bit of what I experienced, or a whole lot of what I experienced, because he hasn't got a date though, have you yet? So, but we'll be praying you up, and he's going to have open heart surgery. He has two blockages that they can't do anything with until they operate on him, and so certainly we will earnestly pray for you in that. Know exactly what you're going through, and I just hope that you can float through that as well as I did, and we praise the Lord for that. Let's see, we had someone else. Robert isn't here this morning, as I know you probably noticed that. Don't tell him, Angela, I said to, but how could you not notice Robert? Yeah, we miss him. Yeah, he's very busy around here and helping us do things and so forth. And so, and I know he hates not to be here, so pray for Robert. Things will work well for him. And the rest of the ones on our prayer list, I assume, because I have not got any reports back from them, are doing as well as they were. And Ron's not here. Ron and Tina, I understand they have some livestock out and they have a problem with that. So they are out doing that today. And who else is out? Pauline's here this morning. Missed you last week. And they said you just overdid it 2 days in a row. And so we're going to have to watch your plate the next time. All right. Let's see who else is we missing here. That everybody else is doing pretty good. And I just look at you and see your smiling faces this morning, and I just have to know you're doing all right. You're looking good. You're here, and that's doing good. Vernon back there, it's 2 weeks in a row. That's good. And things went well for you, did to Fanny, and all right. And we're glad to see you and Wayne this morning back with us. And just a blessing to see you people. Also, as we have here on our bulletin also, and I know you can read better than I can, but I'll just make mentions, you know, that we need to pray for and be thankful for those people who care for us when we have, when through our illness and so forth, doctors, nurses and such. And then another thing that we mentioned from time to time, and we haven't, I don't think, the last couple of weeks, is the caregivers to those in the care homes and the nursing homes. As we've said many times, that has to be a tremendous job, and it takes special people to care for them. Your daughter works over there. I've seen her over to the, she's still there, I assume, and she was working at the care home up there, and it just takes special people to be able to do that. And, you know, God has people doing this and doing that, and that's wonderful that we have those. So be thankful for that. Our service people, and then, of course, our nation and what's taking place in our nation with the uproar that we have. Man, if we could just settle down and have some peace and have harmony and have unity, it would be so good. But Satan is really at work, and he wants to destroy, and he would destroy our nation. He would destroy our church. He would destroy your life, your family, if we allow him. But tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about in a Bible study and we got to deal with Satan a little bit different way. And as we finish up on what we started last time, we'll see where I think Jesus tells us that we need to storm the doors of Satan instead of letting him storm our doors. And so we can go against him in several ways. Thank you. And I want to thank you folks for being so kind to my sisters and let us off in Bible study last week. We took them to have dinner at the Ark, and of course were just taken in by the Ark. And my two older sisters, the next one's 2 years older than I am, the next one's 4 years older than I am, and so they really enjoyed it. And they were what's the word I want to use? They were give me a word. Anyhow, they were happy with you people that. You were so welcoming to them. Boy, I can't think of those good words. I want to thank you. They were impressed by you people. Thank you for being that kind of a people that does that for us. Thank you. As we come to prayer time, God is so good. Oh, I got to tell you, because some of you know, and I'm not standing here to boast of it, but I'm just so thankful. I told you I went Tuesday to get the right exam. And so Friday, the heart doctor called me back and said, everything's A-OK. And so he told me when he was down there that and also he said, I don't want to see you for another year. And so a year from your operation, you'll have to go back to your heart doctor Richard, and he just wants to make sure that you're doing okay. And so then I had the physical, and during the physical, we talked to the doctor there and thought we ought to take the blood test. We hadn't had the vitals checked for a while. And so Friday morning, they called back from the doctor's office and said, "You're in line. Everything's all down the line. We're in the good mode." And so that was really good news. I contribute that to you folks and your prayers and so forth. And these people that you're praying for will experience the same kind of thing as we pray for them.
For prayer handle, using number 431, first and last, Virgil, I have a prayer. So then.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can be so poor. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior.
Invitation hymn be number 309. At this time, the choir will bring a special.
Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to the blessed.
Now, I didn't get up, and he didn't sing. If I get up, he tells me, sit down. It's great to be here, to be with you folks. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. Now, lay this aside, so you won't, don't want you to interfere with our message here today. But this week, I want you to look at those 8 verses and think about them, and you tell me what you think is the most important point of those 8 verses, if you understand what I'm saying. What you think is the most important point of those verses. That'll be next week. Most important point. Most important point. It's all important, but the most important. This morning we're going to talk about forgiveness, faith. Talk a bunch about faith here. I get that from verse 2. And I won't have to read the whole thing here because we read it last week and you've read it in the short passage. We know that Jesus had been over to the Gadareans and come back over to Capernaum. And as he came, and one of the writers says that as he came, well, they were talking to him, they brought the man. But we have a very good account of Matthew, and there is reasons that these different gospel writers states different things. And mostly Matthew, and if we understand it, Matthew is writing to Jews, Jews only. And so the terminology and stuff that he uses will be to dealing with Jews and so forth. Where Mark will be dealing with otherwise, and Luke and them, and they'll be talking with different people, and they'll be using a different. And that's why we have sometimes, it's just like Matthew records the two men at Gadarean and so forth, and one, and Mark only addresses one. Well, see, there was probably the thing that Mark picks up is Jesus was talking to the one, that in particular. So it doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean Mark's saying Matthew's wrong or Matthew's saying Mark's wrong. It's just taking who they're talking to and what's taking place will have a lot to do with what is said there. With that said, in verse 2 it says, and behold, take notice here, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of palsy, laying in bed, and Jesus seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, son, be of, and so this is a Jewish guy that here, son, he calls him, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And so I want to look at this word faith here this morning. Is he speaking here of the faith of the four men? Is he speaking here of the faith of the paralytic? Is he speaking of the faith of the paralytic and the poor? I'll answer that when we finish. Bear with me. But there's a difference, you know, in faith. And I'll run across a whole bunch of them this morning and share with you or bring to your mind some things. There is this thing called superficial faith. That is a thing that we see in the scripture. Very plainly, that is the thing that we can see in life, very plainly. Superficial means surfacely, surfacely. And there's many people, there's a difference, you know. There are people who believe that Jesus can cure, yet they do not believe in Jesus. There are people that believe in Jesus can do this or do that or certain things. But he's not the Son of God. They're superficial thinking about Jesus here. They do not believe that Jesus be the Son of God. Supernatural people do not. Now, some believe him to be a good teacher. Master, they call him. And some say, and that's what the disciples says when they was asking, they say, you're a good teacher. They didn't believe him to be the Messiah was to come. But they had some belief. They had a superficial belief of who Jesus was and is. Whose faith healed the paralytic? I'll share with you in a few minutes. But let's just go down the line and look at some of the things that took place. You know, there is such a thing as supernatural faith that it doesn't result in salvation. I used to know a lady who was a real estate dealer in Williamstown, and bless her heart, she was always talking about God. And every time you talk to her, she says, and you question anything that she would say, that happened quite often, because she had a lot of things that she said that just didn't fit Scripture, and she would always come back with you, "Well, my God knows my heart." Well, if my God knew my heart, then I would be showing more fruit of what Christianity is. And that's where that lady was. And so there's a superficial faith, but it doesn't result in salvation. And I hate to say it, but I have to say it because I do believe it, because of what I see out in the world. There is tremendous amount of superficial faith. They want to believe in Jesus to get what they selfish want for themselves. That's what superficial faith is. And we will see that. We have seen that in times past in the church. I have seen it in different congregations I have been in, where that people are there for what they can get for their selfish self. They believe that God, they could believe that Jesus can do this for them. They believe that Jesus can heal, but they don't want any part with living for him day by day, really. Superficial thinking of Jesus. Someone has said, that, I don't know who took the poll. I don't think it was Barnita. But anyhow, they say 30 or 40% or more of Americans claim that they're born again. Now think about it. 30 to 40% of Americans claim that they're born again. Now, I say to you this morning, and I'm not standing here to judge, but just factual. If the 30 or 40% of Americans were truly born again people, we wouldn't have the immorality that we're experiencing. That just wouldn't be happening. Wouldn't be happening. So I conclude then, when I see that we have too much superficial faith in Jesus. We see superficial faith in the Scriptures, and here's one that, well, is pretty plain for you in chapter 8 of the book of Acts, 18:24. It was when Philip had gone down to Samaria and he preached the gospel, and the people believed and were baptized. And it says there was one there by the name of Simon. And Simon had a name for, in the times past, of being a sorcerer. And he tricked and fooled the people there in Samaria that he was some great one. And he listened, he heard Philip preaching, and he too then began to follow Philip, and he was baptized. Now Peter came down from Jerusalem to Samaria, and Peter was laying hands on people, received the Holy Spirit, because there was people there that had come from the baptism of John, had not received the Holy Spirit. And so Peter was doing that. And Simon says, "Peter," in other words, "how much will you take to give me that? You're ahead of me, aren't you?" Superficial faith. How much can I give you to get that so I can have for my selfish self? Another time we find in the Scripture that the same thing is when Jesus fed the 5,000. 5,000 men, not including the women and the children. And later on, these people really followed Jesus. And Jesus looked upon them, and did you know what Jesus said? "You don't follow me for who I am. You follow me because I feed you." Paraphrasing there. But you've read that. You know the story. That's wanting something for self without recognizing Jesus to be who he is. Superficial faith. Most of us will say, I believe in Jesus. But you know, I have to ask the question, you know, does Jesus really believe in us? Does Jesus really believe that we are sincere? Well, we'll talk about that a little later. Superficial faith may have a high view of Jesus. And they may look up to Jesus in the crowd. They may say good words about Jesus when you're talking about Jesus. But their faith is just surface. Superficial faith may be a starting point. So I have hope. I don't get too hard on people that I know or judge to have superficial faith, because it could be a starting point to real faith. To real faith. And that is always my prayer when I run across that. That those who don't see Jesus for who they are, but only what they can want for their selfish self, will one day see that he is the true provider. He is the real Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. That is my hope. That is my prayer. Jesus healed people without anybody asking to be healed. And no faith demonstrated. They didn't have to have faith to be healed. Here's an example you know real well, and I tried to pick out some things that you know real well. In Luke 7, 11, 13, and 16, we have the widow of Nahum. You all know the story of the widow of Nahum, don't you? And so we find Jesus healing people who has no faith. We know that because what was taking place? The widow of Nahum had her only son, and he had died. And she's taken him to be buried. They're carrying him down the street in the coffin. Jesus approaches them, and he has compassion on the lady. Nothing said about faith nowhere. Only thing, Jesus had compassion on the lady, lifted the son up, and give him back to her alive. No faith there whatsoever. No faith. You remember in Old Testament time, in 1 Kings, I believe it is, this is going way back, that there was a man who was raised from the dead with no faith. No faith mentioned whatsoever. And you remember the story, Elijah died, and Elijah was buried. And this other man died, and they were taking him to bury him in a tomb by Elijah. Some reason, somehow, some men were coming, and they got kind of frightened, and they just tossed the body in beside Elijah. And it so happened that it touched the bones of Elijah, and the man come alive. Where was faith? Where was Jesus? That's back on this one. Those things can happen, did happen. Jesus healed all that others brought to him. Matthew 15 and 20. Great multitudes, it says. People who had been and seen and experienced what Jesus was doing. Great multitudes came unto him, having with them that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. And he healed them. Nothing said about faith, one way or the other. They just brought them. Mark 8 and 22. Well, let me go to Matthew 8, 4:24. And his fame went all through Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with fever, with divers diseases, torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. Just simply says that they brought them, and he healed them. Mark 8, 22, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring to him a blind man. These people are bringing others. Nothing said about faith whatsoever. He cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring the blind man unto him, and he sought him to touch him. And you know the story. Jesus made the clay, spit out spittle, put on his eyes, and it fell off, and the blind man saw. Isn't it wonderful how Jesus can do such wonderful things? Jesus healed people not even in his presence, by just speaking a word. Now, not even present, but speaking from afar, healed at the request of another. That's why we say, you know, pray for people that you know wherever they are. We see that that works. Matthew 5:8-13, a centurion came to Jesus. The centurion is a man over an officer over many soldiers. And he said to Jesus, he said, Jesus, I have a servant at home. And he's sick unto death. Would you come and cure him? And Jesus said, I'll go to your house. And the centurion said, no. He said, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. Just speak the word. And it says that Jesus told him to go home. His servant would be healed. So Jesus could speak words at a great distance. And people were healed of diseases of certain kinds. Jesus healed people that came seeking and asking on their own. So I hope you're seeing, you know, what Jesus is doing here, what Jesus does for people that he just encrowns, people that just are there, people who comes requesting for others. And now I see that he comes and he heals people who are seeking or asking for themselves. Here's a good example, and you know very well. I said here, seeking and asking, because this lady didn't ask, and this is what was the lady who had the issue of blood. Luke 8:43-44, the lady that had the issue of blood for 12 years. And here's what she said. Now, I don't know, and the scripture doesn't tell us. I don't know what her faith was. I don't know whether she had great faith, small faith. I don't know. Only thing I do know, that whatever faith she had, she put it to work. She used it. She acted upon it. Because the scripture says that this lady with this issue of blood for 12 years said, I don't know where she had heard of Jesus. The scripture don't teach us. I don't know what she knows about him. Don't know how much faith she's got. She's got some faith. I know she's got some faith because she said, I know if I can only touch the hem of his garments, I will be made whole. And you know the story. When she came, she pressed through the crowd. She touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And Jesus then knew that virtue had left him. And he turns around, and this lady thought, boy, she's going to catch it. But Jesus, the kind Jesus that he is, said, who touched me? And the lady confessed, I did. And he told her to go. Her faith had made her whole. I don't know how much faith she had. Jesus does talk sometimes about little faith, great faith, and so forth. And so we see this lady come, and she was healed. Luke 8:48, Jesus said, the lady of the issue of blood, when he had perceived virtue had gone out, daughter, he calls her. Daughter. That's saying, you know, that's including her in the family, isn't it? Daughter. He says, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. In Luke 17:12-14, and he entered into a certain village, Jericho, really. into a certain village, and there met him a man, 10 men, lepers. And they yelled out to him. They asked for themselves. She comes seeking. Here's the 10 men who come asking. And they said, Jesus, have mercy on us. Don't know anything about faith there. Nothing said about faith. But Jesus speaks to them and told them to go their way, told them what to do, and what's the scripture say? They were healed. One came back, you remember. We know this. They came asking, and they received. She comes seeking, and she received. There was a blind man. He was sitting by the road at Jericho. I don't know where the 10 lepers were. But I throw Jericho in there, but I don't know where the 10 lepers were. I don't remember where he was journeying. I do remember this, that they pleaded with him to be healed. And out of mercy and compassion, Jesus healed them. They went on their way and were healed. The blind man sitting by the road on the way to Jericho, and he hears these coming. And he wants to know. So he doesn't really know all that's going on. And he wants to know what's all the commotion. And they say that it's Jesus of Nazareth passing by. So I don't know what this man knows about Jesus. It doesn't tell us. I kind of think, and you know, I want to be kind to the man, but I kind of think that he's been out there all his life a beggar. And he's been looking for other people to support him and to help him and do for him. But he's told Jesus of Nazareth is coming by. And he must have heard something about Jesus. And maybe he did believe that Jesus would do something for him. I don't know that. I do know that when Jesus approached, he cried out and said, "Have mercy on me." And Jesus healed his sight. He asked for it. I hope you're getting that. Some seek, some ask. Some were brought. Some just happened to be there. Jesus healed people as they came to him in groups. I can't quite picture this. I heard a person this week, and they was telling about this preacher having a revival down in, I thought they said Kentucky, but maybe not. Somewhere in the South. And they said they had 400 baptisms that night. I mean, wouldn't that be something? That's something like Pentecost, isn't it? You know, that they would. Groups of people. And how they done it, I don't know. And, you know, I mean, it would have been a chore to 400 people. Wouldn't that be a sight? He's going to be in Florence. I may go listen to him when he comes. I know he's going to have a revival in Florence. I just would like to hear the man that can speak and 400 people comes. It almost sounds like Jesus. Jesus could just talk and talk and people. Great groups come to him. Follow him. Luke 4:40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divine diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Can you imagine? I don't know how big a group this was, but it has to be quite a group. But it says Jesus laid his hands on every one of these and healed them. Doesn't say anything about these people coming and so forth. There must have been some faith along the line there somewhere, wouldn't you think? Somebody. Luke 9:11, the people that, when they knew it, followed Jesus. And he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom and healed them that were in need of healing. Those that just followed him. I can see Jesus, can't you? I can see Jesus going, and I can see the great groups following him. and I can see somebody faulting back here. Somebody is a paralytic maybe, or somebody is sick. Something's going on, and Jesus just walks back and heals them. No faith. Just does it. That's the kind of Lord he is. That's the kind Jesus is. Matthew 19 and 2, and great multitudes followed him. And you can just read on and on and on and on in the scripture and see those things. And he healed them. The Jews, as we said last week, believed that all crippling and all sicknesses came about because of sin. The Jews believed that. Even the disciples that followed him believed that. Because if you remember one time, this blind man, they came upon this blind man. And the disciples said to Jesus, Jesus, who did sin, this man or his parents? This man or his parents? So they believed, as all the other Jews believed, that disease was caused from sin. Paralytics was caused by sin. And truly, I have to say, truly, they are. All sickness, all diseases, all cripplings are brought about by sin. It may not be the sin of that particular person, but sin entered in, and that's what we're affected by. Your illness, your sickness, is caused by sin. It might not be because of your sin, but sin caused it. That's the evil that Satan has against working against our God and God's people. Jesus didn't measure, though, people by their degrees. Jesus is compassionate, and he cares for people like you and me, and he ministers to people like you and me. It doesn't really make any difference, I don't believe, as the scripture says, how much faith you have. Oh, I do say, though, the greater faith you have, the greater things might come about for you, or you might experience because you have depended, you have looked to that. But I say it doesn't really make the difference amount of faith one has if they have the right kind of faith. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, you know, and this is a little bit different story, but it has to deal with the faith. And Jesus said to his disciples one day, he said, if you had the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you would say to that mountain, be ye plucked up and cast in the sea, and it would be done. What Jesus was doing there, he was giving them a lesson. We said that in our Bible study. He's giving them some kind of a lesson. He's using that for a lesson that your faith, your amount of faith, that will have a lot to do with what happens to you. Now, I want to close this morning with the faith of these men. It's not really the main point of this passage, but it's very important, I think, important point of application here. Of being saved, healed, faith working, and whose faith was working. And we said last week that we can't save our friends, but we can bring our friends to the one who can save them. Now back to the four men in the parallel. Whose faith? Was it the four men's faith? Well, I mean that we could look at that and say probably. Could have been. Was it the paralytic's faith? No doubt it was. I believe that the paralytic and the four men had a genuine, sincere faith. A genuine, sincere faith. I have to believe that.
How did Jesus see that? It says Jesus saw their faith. How did he see their faith? Here's one way they saw that he saw their faith, by what they did. This man could have stopped them from carrying him there. This man could have stopped them going through that crowd. This paralytic could have said, "We can't damage the man's property. We can't tear up the roof." The four men could have believed that Jesus could heal. And they could have said, "The press is too great. We can't get him in." And they could have agreed, "We can't tear up the man's property." They didn't do that, did they? The way that Jesus saw their faith was in what they did. You understand? What they did. They did every effort they could, took every effort they could to get to Jesus. To bring to Jesus the problem that they were faced with. The difficulty that they had in their lives. These four men wanted their friend healed. The man with the paralytic, he wanted to be healed so he could go play golf with the four friends, no doubt. They wanted to do that. But I really believe it wasn't superficial faith. I don't believe they came just to get what their selfish selves wanted. In fact, they got more than what they came for, really. They came to just to get the man healed. And I really believe that they had a genuine faith in Jesus to heal the man. I say that because if you go to the next few verses, you will see that Jesus, when the scribes said, "Jesus, blasphemy." They didn't say that. They didn't speak that out loud. They didn't speak it as I'm speaking to you. It was in their hearts. In their hearts. And Jesus perceived what they were saying within them. That tells me that Jesus just looked at our hearts. And he looked upon the hearts of those men. He looked upon the heart of that paralytic. And he looked upon their persistence to get to Jesus. And that's the faith. That's when he said, he saw their faith, and he said, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven." Now we could go on all day talking about different passages of this, but I hope that you will see Jesus worked in various ways to bring forth the wonder-working power of God. I have to say, in Jesus' life, his early ministry, he didn't look at faith for healing. He just had compassion. You'll read that time after time. He had compassion. He had compassion. He had compassion. It wasn't faith. He just took mercy and compassion on the needed people. There is a point in Jesus' life, though, that he came to say, "Do you believe in me?" I believe it was, and I should have wrote this down, I believe it was a blind man, again, another blind man. He healed the blind readily. It was a blind man who came to Jesus and asked Jesus, should have put that in the one asking. And he asked Jesus to heal him. Here's what Jesus said. "Do you believe that I can?" That was about the middle of his ministry. "Do you believe that I can?" And you know what he said? He said, "Yes, I believe you can." Long story short, he was healed. I believe that there was a time in Jesus' ministry that Jesus stopped just blanket healing and forgiving. The lady that was caught in adultery, there was no faith talked about there, but he told her to go and sin no more. Several things that we could find that he did that, but I believe there was a point that Jesus then began to ask, "Do you believe in me?" Jesus asked several times, "Do you believe I am who I am?" He was testing faith then. And I believe today he works that way. If you have genuine, sincere faith, you shouldn't hesitate to ask Jesus for what you need. Jesus answers that kind of faith. I'm not saying that he won't answer you if you have little faith or if you have great faith. But I can say this, that if your faith is sincere and genuine, you can depend, or you can have confidence that Jesus will work with you very wonderfully. Very wonderfully. That is a sure thing. Question, I guess, this morning. Let me finish and say this. We got a couple minutes. I thought Doodle was going to probably gig me this morning, you know, and he'd probably say, I wish your sisters would come every week because I got done with my sermon already. But listen, here it is. Jesus looks upon the heart of mankind. And Jesus can read the heart. And you know, here's a thought. When Jesus said to that man, there in the scripture, he said, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. How could Jesus forgive those sins? We've used and said several different things. But here's the only reason, and he used the word are. You see, God sees the future. Jesus, what was Jesus doing? What was he doing right there anyhow? He was on his way to Jerusalem. And when Jesus looked at that man, and he told him his sins were forgiven, what do you think Jesus had on his mind? The cross. Jesus knew for him to forgive that man's sins, he had to go to the cross. We know that Jesus said when he was at the Mount of Olives, and when he was so taken down and he was on his knees, and he said, Father, if there be any other way, let it be so, but if not, let your will be done. When Jesus spoke to that paralytic and told him his sins was forgiven, he was seeing the cross. He was seeing him on the cross. The scripture says he was born to go to the cross. Jesus says, I must go to Jerusalem and die, be crucified. Jesus looked upon, that's the way Jesus could say, it's done, it's done. God looks at your life and says, those things that you need are done. Do you really believe it? Let me ask you, examine yourself. How's your faith? Doesn't make any difference whether you have small faith or you have big faith. What is it in here? What is it in here? Big superficial faith gets you nowhere. Little faith in here gets what you need. And you need to be saved. You need your sins forgiven. You need to be made whole if you're not. And you that are needs the rich blessings of God upon your life, right? So we come to our invitation hymn. You know,
I don't know. I've demonstrated, hopefully,
many different ways of faith could be or doesn't be. And I can't tell, and you can't tell. Only Jesus knows, and he works according. How is your faith? As we stand and sing the first verse on it. Oh.
little passage. We're getting a lot out of that, aren't we? And there's so much more in there. We're going to use it the next 2 weeks to get some more things out of there. But isn't it wonderful to see how God does wonderful things for people, and he'll do them for you and me. We just have to believe that he will. Amen. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, how great it is that Jesus has come and showed us you, our Father, and your love. And through Jesus, you have reached out to mankind, and you forgive men of their sins, men, women, boys, and girls everywhere. And you look upon their lives and upon their heart. And you know if we really believe in you, that Heavenly Father, we will really be blessed. So help us all, Heavenly Father, as we leave this place and go through this week. Help us to believe that through Jesus we can receive those wonderful blessings that you have promised us. Because we do believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, who's come into the world to take away sins that will relieve our pain, our sickness, and our crippledness in our spiritual life especially. Thank you for the people gathered here. Bless them as they go, we pray. And thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.